right, now we're going to take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 through verse 20. And we're going to title this section, Growing Pains, Growing Pains. Now, it wasn't easy to be a Christian in Thessalonica, where believers face persecution and suffering. Their situation explains Paul's choice of words when he wrote this letter. In chapter 1, verse 6, he uses the word affliction, which means pressure from circumstances. Then in chapter 2, verse 14, he used the word suffered, and that's the same word used for our Lord's suffering. Then in chapter 2, verse 15, he uses the word persecuted, meaning driven out and rejected. Then in verse 15, once again, you see the word contrary. That's used of winds that blow against and hinder progress. And then you see the word hindered in verse 18, and it pictures a road so broken up that travel is blocked. Yet in the midst of suffering, the Thessalonian Christians experienced joy. This was a fulfillment of our Lord's promise. He did say in John 16:33, He said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good what? Cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, churches do experience growing pains as we seek to win the lost and as we seek to glorify the Lord. We may not experience the same kind of political and religious persecution that early Christians suffered, though there are churches in this world today that have just the same amount of intense persecution. But you know what? If we live godly in Christ Jesus, the Bible says we will what? Suffer persecution. In this paragraph, Paul explains the divine resources we have in times of suffering and persecution. First of all, we have God's Word within us. God's Word within us. Look at verse 13. Here we read this. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Now, that's a good thing for Christians to do. Thank God without ceasing. Let's pray without ceasing. Let's thank Him without ceasing. Because when you receive the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now the same Word that brings us salvation also enables us to live for Jesus Christ and be able to endure suffering for His sake. Paul was thankful that the saints in Thessalonica had the right spiritual attitudes toward the Word of God. This helped them endure their hour of suffering. Notice, they appreciated the Word. They appreciated the Word. They did not receive it as the Word of men. They received it as the Word of God. And when you got the Bible, you got the Word of God, you know what God says? It just ought to settle everything. We do not need to question it. We do not need to doubt it. We simply need to accept it and obey it like we should. We must never treat the Bible as just another book. For the Bible is different in its origin, in its character, in its content, and in its cost. The Bible is the Word of God. It was inspired by the Spirit of God. Notice what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. It says all Scripture. Now how much?
All of it.
That means every bit of it.
Amen.
Is what?
Given.
Is given by what? Inspiration of God. That word means God breathed. I want you to understand it says is. It doesn't say was. It says is. You know, there's people today that want to dismiss the inspiration of God's Word today, and they say it was inspired in the originals. No, if it was inspired in the originals, which it happened to be, it's still inspired today because it's simply a copy. God has preserved His Word and He inspired it forever. Goes on to say, and is profitable. Profitable for who? For us. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, the Holy Spirit of God used men to pen down His inspired Word. And we read that in 2 Peter chapter 1. Turn with me there. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Now, He didn't just use any old Yahoo, but He used holy men of God. Notice what it says in verse 20 and 21 of 1 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. That would be a better one, although those also were good verses, but it has nothing to pertain to what I'm talking about. It says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any what? Private interpretation. Now, does that mean that, like some people say, you know what, you know, that's just your interpretation. I interpret it this way. Is that what that verse is talking about? No, it's not talking about that at all. It means, you know what, you can't pull a verse out of context and say it means something different than the rest of the Bible. All the Bible goes together. Then it goes on to say, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the what? Holy Ghost. Now, turn, if you would, to Psalm chapter 19, verse 7 through 9. And here we see the Word of God is holy, it is pure, and it is perfect. Notice what it says in Psalm 19, verse 7 through 9. Notice what it says here. The law of the Lord is what? Perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So does the Word of God have any influence on us being born again? You better believe it does. We are born again by the incorruptible Word of God. It converts the what? Soul. The statutes of the Lord are what? Right. Rejoice in the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Now, the way the Christian treats his Bible shows how he regards Jesus Christ. If you neglect your Bible, you're neglecting Him. You see, Jesus is a living Word, and the Bible is the written Word. But in essence, they are the same. Both are bread. Jesus said He's the bread of life. The Bible teaches us that the Word of God is bread. Both are light. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Both are truth. The Bible is true from cover to cover. It is truth. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the what? Truth and the life. Now, if we appreciate the Bible as the inspired Word of God, then we will reveal this appreciation in the way we treat our Bibles. You know, some people don't treat the Word of God like they should. You know, some of them just ignore it. They let it collect dust. They fill it up with all kinds of recipes and family photos and everything else. You know what else they do? They just kind of just leave it out in the weather and they neglect it. They leave it here at the church. They don't take care of it like they should. You know, one of the things that bothers me is sometimes on a Sunday night, people are all gone and I'm walking through. There's a Bible or two here. And I'm thinking, how in the world does that happen? How can you just leave your Bible behind? And here's another thing. Some people have a Bible, right? And they put all kinds of other things on top of it. All their other reading materials. You won't find me doing that. I think the Bible is preeminent. It's above all other writings. It should not be under anything else. We need to treat the Bible with care. Ask yourself this question. Would you rather have your Bible than food? Did not Job say, I esteem thy words of his mouth more than necessary than food? What do you do first thing in the morning? Do you eat before you read? Are you esteeming the Word like you should? You know, I've lived by a motto for many years now. I don't know how many years, but it's been an awful long time. No Bible, no bacon. Meaning I'm not going to eat until I have read the Word of God. You say, why would you do such a thing? Because I esteem the Word of God more than my necessary food. God's Word is bread. It is milk. It is meat. It is sweeter than honey to our taste. You know, Mary chose the Word as she sat at Jesus' feet, but her sister Martha got involved in making a meal. Now, Mary was blessed, while Martha lost out on victory because she put something else ahead of the Word of God. Would you rather have God's Word than money? The believer who wrote Psalm 119 made it clear that God's Word meant as much as all riches, according to Psalm 119, verse 14. More than thousands of gold and silver, in verse 72. More than fine gold, in verse 127. And even great spoil, in Psalm 119, verse 162. Is it that important to you? If it were, I guarantee you'd read it before you go to work. You know what? If your house was burning down, what would you grab? Would it be your purse? Would it be your wallet? Would it be what contents are in the safe? I've already made a determination. If it ain't a person in there, I'm grabbing my Bible. Because it means that much to me. Would you rather have God's Word than sleep? Psalm 119:48, turn with me there. Notice what it says here. I have a tendency to believe some of us are sleeping way too well at night and we haven't spent time in the Word of God. Notice what the psalmist writes here, and I believe the psalmist is David. Mine eyes prevent the night watches. What does that word prevent mean? It means go before. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy what? Word. Now, there are three night watches that the Jews had. One was sunset to 10, 10 to 2, and then 2 till dawn. And the psalmist gave up sleep three times in the night so he could spend time with the Word. Now, if we're going to be victorious in suffering, we definitely need to appreciate the Word more than we do. But there is a second attitude we need to show towards the Bible, and that is what the Thessalonians did, and that is they appropriated the Word. Notice what it says in verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the Word of God, which you heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now, Paul uses two words for received here. The first means simply to accept from another. And you know what? Paul is saying, I preached to you. I preached the word of God to you, and you received it. You know, there's sometimes a preacher gets up, preaches the Word of God, and you know what? You'll hear people walking out the church and they tell the preacher, I don't care what you say. Well, you know what? I don't care what I say either. But you ought to care what God says when the preacher's preaching the Word of God. These people appreciated it. Amen. They appropriated it. And the other means hearing of the ear and one means hearing with the heart. Now, the believers at Thessalonica did not only hear the Word, they took it into the inner man and they made it part of their lives. They engrafted it into their very being. You know, So many of us, we hear the word God being preached, and it's like water is off a duck's back. It doesn't have the impact upon us. We don't take it into our hearts. We hear it with our ears, but we don't heed what it says. It does nothing for us. That's not how we ought to treat God's Word. We ought to appropriate it. We ought to obey it. We ought to be doers of the Word. But he gives an... He's in Matthew 13:9, Jesus says, take heed that ye hear. And what we need to do is use every opportunity we have to hear the Word of God being preached. But he gives another warning in Mark 4:24 when he said, take heed what you hear. You know, we ought to heed the preaching of God's Word. And you know what? We ought to heed what we read in God's Word. And when somebody gets up and preaches, and they're not preaching the truth, we ought to know the difference between truth and untruth. Because we're familiar with the Word of God to begin with.
Right.
So often we hear the Word of God, we know it's true, then we go out in our cars, and we listen to the radio, we listen to all kinds of different music that isn't godly, and you know what? It helps to erase the impression the Word of God was supposed to have on our life during the service. Our Lord's third warning about hearing is found in Luke 8:18. It says, take heed therefore how you hear. Many people are careless hearers and cannot apply themselves to listening to God's Word. You know, you get behind a pulpit and you see this. You see all kinds of people doing all kinds of things. You know, I don't know if they're playing on their phone or what. Some are balancing their checkbook. Others are looking to see if they need a manicure or seeing if they need their hair dyed. I mean, it's unbelievable what goes on in a congregation when the Word of God is being proclaimed. So often people just want to hear what they want to hear. They don't want to be reproved. They don't want to be rebuked. They don't care if the doctrine's right. Give me what I want to hear. They have itching ears. And then so many are too lazy to apply themselves to the Word of God, and so many are just come in and fail to pay attention to what's being said. Not too long ago, I preached in a conference, and someone asked one of the ladies that was in the congregation when I was preaching after I preached and we're going to lunch. He said, so what did he preach on? It was so off base. She said, he preached his chest dropped into his drawers. Now, I did say that. But that wasn't even the gist of the message. But that's all she got. Now, isn't that sad? There was a truth there that she did not get because she wasn't paying attention. But when I said something that was a bit funny, she latched onto that and that's all she got. Crazy, isn't it? You say, what was that sermon? You'll hear it one of these days. Now, how do we appropriate the Word of God? By understanding it. By receiving it into our hearts, meditating on it, so it becomes part of our inner man. Meditation is to the spiritual life what digestion is to the physical life. If you did not digest your food, you would die. It takes time to meditate, but it is the only way to appropriate the Word of God and to grow. Listen, when you read the Word of God, it's not a race. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes my mind wanders. Okay? And when that happens, you know what? I get right back, and I even go back to where I understood what I was reading. And then, you know, sometimes it's a good 15, 20 verses, but I just blanked out. But I read it. And so what I needed to do was go back and reread those portions again so I can get the understanding of what's going on. You know, why do we want to keep on going when we didn't understand what we already read?
Right.
We're not taking the time to understand it. We're just, well, you know what, I'm going to read my Bible and in a year I'm going to get my four chapters done. Well, does it really do you any good if you don't know what you read? We need to read with some understanding. We need to read so that we got something to chew on the rest of the day. It takes time. Then they applied the word. They obeyed the word by faith, and the word went to work in their lives. Now, it's not enough to appreciate the Bible or even to appropriate the Bible. We must make application of the word into our lives, and we do that by hearing and doing. Notice what it says in James chapter 1, verse 19 through 25. James chapter 1, verse 19 through 25. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be what? Swift to hear. Don't be dull of hearing. Don't say, I already know that. You can't teach me nothing, preacher. Well, you just go on with yourself. Goes on to say, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with what? Meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye what? Doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know, we got a lot of people who are believers, and they claim to be quite spiritual because they have a head full of the knowledge of the Bible. But they don't do what it says. Now, they're deceiving themselves because they ain't deceiving the rest of us. We watch their lives. We know what they're like. Here's a funny thing. You know, you can preach on a certain subject, and you got people there yelling, amen, hallelujah, glory to God, you know, second preacher and everything else. But then they walk out of the church, they remain the same. They don't do what was been preached. Now, that's kind of sad, isn't it? And yet they think, man, you know what, they come out of the service, they say, oh, preacher, that was a great sermon. Man, I really enjoyed the service. It sure was worth coming to church today. And yet their life hasn't been changed. They have not done the truth that was proclaimed, and they have no plans on doing so. But they want us to think that they're spiritual and they're deceiving their own self. Isn't that something? You know, how many here ever heard me preach on the home? And yet we leave here and we still go back to that dysfunctional home. And we do nothing about it. And we sit there bobbing our heads, saying, yeah, that's right, preacher, that's right. Well, why don't you do something with it? Why don't you make the application? Why don't you make the changes? Or the preacher gets up and he just preaches against sin. I've just finished up a sermon on this, so I shouldn't be giving it all away. But he preaches hard against sin. And we walk out of here. We never hit the altar because we're too proud. That's sin too, by the way. And we walk out of here with the same filthy habit, same unclean heart, and same wicked spirit. Man, that was good. Sure enjoyed that. Well, where's the change? Why aren't we doers of the word? You're only deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Do you see that? You heard it. It was revealed to you through the mirror of God's word. You saw those imperfections, and you do nothing about it. But whoso looketh in a perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed, what? In his deed. The blessing doesn't come in the hearing. The blessing comes in the doing. All right, man, we're already 10 after 8. Huh? Well, we'll stop right here. Some of you already falling asleep. No, I don't think you were. Some of you already got a belly full.